It's the same. It's a strange thing, but the same Apostle Paul that wrote a lot of these different epistles in the New Testament, a lot of the things that are written that he recorded, people use controversial. What he said in one place seems to disagree with what he said in another place, and they argue over it. And you know what? Paul was saying the same thing. He was not led by the Holy Spirit to say something different. That's what I'm saying. So you can't find an argument over what he said. In Philippians, second chapter, Paul says that you're speaking of Christ, that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And so I looked that up. I have this little Bible that has a variety of translations. And those that have the thought pattern in their heads that Jesus is God, they really use that to the extreme. They made the most of that. And in the New King James and in the King James, it says the same, you know, the same thing. And the thing about it is, Jesus himself said, he said that he says to see him was to see the Father. You know, I mean, he's suggesting something. And anywhere that we read in the Bible, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and life. But how many people actually recognize it as such and benefit from it? And when the Bible says, few there be that find it, my thought pattern right there is that there's very few that are going to bypass the letter and get to the spirit. It says in Hebrews, it says, by faith we understand. At the same time, how many Bible colleges, and I mean, we have been kind of offshoots of a organization, that the emphasis was not on discerning by the Spirit. The emphasis was on learning by intelligence.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's a major thrust today. That's what you do. You educate, and you educate, and you educate. And the sad part is, by the time you get through with all the education, you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has made it in such a way that if we want to get it by our own ability, he stops us. It has to be gained through him. So Jesus told Nicodemus, a teacher, an intelligent man, he says, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. You must be born from above. I mean, he's emphasizing these things. And of course, Nicodemus didn't have a clue. And of course, Pilate didn't have a clue. You know, it's like the intelligence doesn't get it. Yours doesn't, and mine doesn't, and whatever else, because God has made it such that we can't glory in his presence by our own ability. We've got to do it his way. In 1 Timothy 3:16, and of course, you know, one of the things that we have to do so we don't fall into the same trap that we've been guilty of for years, we have to read the befores and the afters and the arounds and other parts of it, because Paul was not one like a lot of people today are, that isolate one verse, and so he just sticks a random verse in some place that has nothing to do with anything else. He doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And it says God was manifested in the flesh. Jesus says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He came under his own and they received him not. But God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So was God being manifested through Christ in John 1:11, and they didn't receive him? Well, of course he was. God was manifested in Christ all of the time that he was ministering.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. We don't understand that because we have flesh and we have spirit. And we have a God that he can be just about any place he wants. Well, no. I said that wrong. He can be any place he wants to be. And he took up residence in his Son. And, you know, we have a scripture setting up on the back that every so often it works on me. And I think Pablo and I were talking about that the other day. Maybe yesterday, I'm not sure. But anyway, it says that God's will is for all men to be saved. And God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, let me say something. He's not willing that any should perish. And of all the scriptures, John 3:16... The favorite old scripture that people use and they quote over and over and over and over, it says, God so loved the world, listen, that he was not willing that any should perish. If he loved them so much, why is he going to have anybody perish? Well, I got some better understanding over the years. And one of the things is, he's in charge. He did what he did, and it's his business, and he does what he does, and we better be okay with it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he's not willing, or you know, God's will that all men should be saved. Well, not that guy. I'm not really that crazy. I mean, I just assume that he didn't make it. If God's will is it for all people to be saved? What about me? What it should be my will?
That's right. Amen.
If God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth, what should be my will? I begin to understand something. You know, we wonder, well, am I okay with God? I'll tell you what. You start to know you're okay with God when your will is for all men to be saved. And your will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
God wants to do such a work inside of us that our will is his will. And when Jesus says, he that has seen me has seen the Father, you know what? His will was the Father's will. Not my will, but your will be done. His will had become his Father's will. And that's what God is looking for in us. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. I can understand that. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Well, God was already in glory. But in verse 2, or no, in chapter 4, the Spirit expressly or speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I'm not sure the word some is accurate. I'm thinking that lots of people are in that category, speaking lies and hypocrisy as hypocrites, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving, to them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And so Jesus prayed, and he said in John 17, he says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. I want to be sanctified.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
But guess what the bottom line of that is? God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Sanctify them through what truth? That truth. Sanctify them through your truth. Come to the knowledge of God's truth. And that's why there's been such an emphasis in this little handful of people. But it's still, at some point, we're going to have an opportunity. And I want it. I want that opportunity. If I don't get it, I don't get it. But I want that opportunity.
Thank you, Lord, yes.
To know we have the truth, to have the verification, the confirmation. You know, we haven't really had the truth. We were confident and thought that we did, but the truth that God is wanting us to have is a spirit truth. It's not something that our heads have concluded. It's not conclusions of the mind. It's something that God reveals by the Spirit. And so we see, through faith we understand.
Lord.
That's different than some kind of a great education. Education may be fine, but it's not the same as being educated in spiritual things that are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I've had a lot of wrong doctrinal things taught to me over the years. I think that's maybe one of the years that the reason it's taken me so long even to get to this point. Because God had to slowly erase a lot of those things. You know, one of the first things that had to happen, I had to come to the realization that this God is God's truth. I may not understand it, but it still is His truth. And once He can erase the letter off from the thing, the Spirit will come.
Mm, Lord.
And the dock we use, it's like, it's got to be a 20 degree tilt. So, anyways.
I asked him how expensive it would be to install a crane on his pontoon.
You're in the back of the belt.
Yeah. You know, about God's will. God's will, I see it as this sort of a train, let's say, of God. And you have to get in it. You know what I mean?
Good.
You have to want to get in the will of God.
Yeah.
God, you know, like you said, you know, God so loved the world that He gave His Son, and whoever will believe in Him will have eternal life. So, He's willing for us to be saved, but also is for whosoever will love His Son. You know, I will just say that nobody ever goes hungry. So I would put food everywhere, but that's my will. But you still have to come and eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You still, God's will, you know, it says, ask and you shall receive, you know, and so forth. But in the other, but there also says, if you ask according to the will of God, you will receive. So you have to ask according to the will of God. Just like truth, you have to be given the desire to be in the will of God. You have to You can miss the will of God. Not because he's God and it's his will means that everybody is going to do his will. No. You have to want to be in his will.
Amen.
If not, you're going to miss everything. You know, anyway, a little sort of testimony. You know, it's hard to evaluate where you're at with God, your faith or your whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's say, scale 1 to 10. What's 10? What's 1? What's anything? I mean, how do you even know how to evaluate your faith? But I'm always in this, man, I just don't... it's like I feel like I need more belief or more something. And you know, faith comes by hearing. I want to talk about faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing God's word. But I just feel that what comes out of this body's mouth also increases my faith.
Yes.
And I don't know, I can't find a scripture for that, but it does. And I know it's right.
Yes, it is.
But in order to justify my thinking, it's like, now, if this word, if I wasn't taking this word in, the things that you guys would be saying would be nothing to me. But because I am taking this word, then what comes out of your mouth, then my faith increases. So faith comes by hearing and of God's word. But Jesus says, you know, he who hears you hears me. So you're not Jesus, but you guys are also taking God's word in. So what comes out of your guys' mouth, it is in also a faith builder. It is also a faith, I should say also, because it's God's word. It's what you guys have been eating, God's word, throughout the week, and that's what comes out of your mouth. You know, you know the Bible, but what comes out of your mouth is impactful enough that my faith increases. Mm-hmm. Increases. And again, I'm going to repeat. Now, if I didn't have this word in me, what I would hear from you would not affect me. And so that's kind of my testimony in the last couple of weeks. I just can see the reality of the Holy Spirit and of the work that the Holy Spirit does. Mm-hmm. And I could see people coming out of the graves, and it wouldn't make the same impact that I would have just by our fellowship and what I hear coming out of your guys' mouth. You know, it's just it's good. Somehow God uses you guys to help each other. You know, it helps. It does. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's kind of my testimony. Going back to Jesus and, you know, the manifest, you know, you see the Father, you see me, you see the Father. You know, I am the vine, you are the branches, blah, blah. So, you know, if you see the branches, you see the Father also. Mm-hmm. If you see the vine, you see the Father. I don't know, the vine dresser, I don't think he's walking around anywhere, but he's there. So I don't know. I mean, if it's from God, if it is from God, you see the Father. A branch, a grape seed, that's the Father. If it's a grape from the branch, from the vine dresser, if you see a grape seed, you still see the Father. I don't need to see the whole thing. Like I'm good enough with a grape seed to see the Father. That's not the Father, but you can see the Father.
Good. And I suppose this is a little bit of a correction. There in John, where the branch is Jesus, that's the vine, and the Father is the vine dresser. You know, but yeah, that's essentially your point, Pablo. And that is good. Yeah. You see a branch, you see the vine, what's the big difference? There isn't any. You know, it's all one. It's good. And yes, I want to get on that train of God's will. Let's get on that thing. Let's get on the train of God's will. You know? It'll take us where we want to go, but we got to get on it. You know, you don't get on it. The fact that the train's going where you want to go doesn't do you much good at all. So let's get on that thing and stay on it. Stay on it. You know. Yeah, it is true. We are built up together. We are built up together. It's good. I go so far as to say, I think I kind of need you folks. I don't know. Yeah. A fire. I don't know what would happen to the fire if it didn't have the other sticks burning. Eventually it goes out, I guess, doesn't it? But thought occurred to me that a good name for a sermon sometime would be Waiting for Samuel. Yet, I'll explain what I mean by that. You remember Saul. He was given instructions that before he attacked the enemy or had a battle with the enemy, he had to wait for Samuel to come and do an animal sacrifice or did whatever it was that he was doing. And Samuel told him, I'll be there in whatever 13 days or whatever it was, whatever, you know. Well, got to be the 13th day, the deadline day, and all the enemy was there in front of him, you know, getting all ready, you know. And that darn Saul, he gets all nervous seeing that enemy there. And Samuel's supposed to be there. It's the dead, you know. So he just goes ahead and does it himself, you know. And in the process of it, Samuel comes and, you know. I tell ya, that is so characteristic of the natural man, be operating according to the schedule, be thinking in your own thinking, you know, just and getting worked up and anxious and worried. You know, all he had to do was do what he was told. He had to wait for Samuel. Just wait for Samuel, he'd have been good. You know, that was the big test for him, and he failed it. And then he got replaced by David, of course, who surely would have waited for Samuel. I tell you, it is such a lesson for us. We must wait. We must do the spiritual wait. We must have God's patience, not patience that's designed by our brain. We're surely going to fail. We're surely going to fail if we go by our own time schedule, go by our own expectation of when things should be happening and when, you know. Jesus talks about, if it be possible, the very elect will be fooled by the Antichrist. You know? Mm-hmm. And that, that getting fooled by the Antichrist, that is so characteristic of Saul. You know, it's what he was all about. Getting, you know, not waiting for the Lord's second coming. Instead, buying this dumb counterfeit that comes ahead of time. You know. And I was thinking about all this stuff. And wondering how do you do that? how do you have God's patience rather than be operating according to your own time schedule? And I don't know that we need a pat on the back too much, but it occurred to me that spending 20 years doing the same thing is a pretty good way of developing God's patience, not operating on our own, you know. 20 years being, you know, oh, listen to the scriptures, you know. If you're serious about him, go to where he is, you know, having that be the essential message for many, many, whatever, how old as Dominic is, whatever that is, you know. Might be a little longer than that, but I don't know. But anyway, that, you know, that is, when you think about it, that is so stupid. The thing we've been doing, so stupid in the natural. So stupid in the natural. But I do believe that it is practice. It's practice for waiting for Saul. Not waiting for Saul, waiting for Samuel. Wait until it is God's time. Not our time. God's time. God's time. It's got to be God's time.
That's determination, no matter what. I couldn't hold back on this. You know what? Saul only had to wait 13 years. Or 13 days, I mean. And I have had some of the most phenomenal dreams of things that I saw that God was doing in this church. It hasn't happened. Next Monday.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. I'm going to be 82, and it still hasn't happened. When don't we get together after a while and decide what we can do to make it happen quick? Of course, I'm teasing. I want to comment on something that Pablo had said in his testimony. Jesus, or John the Baptist said in John 3:34, he said that he who God sends speaks the words of God. And so, what exactly are we trying to do you want? What are we trying to, by God's mercy and grace right now? I want God's words in truth. Amen. And you know what is happening? It is gaining momentum. I know it is better truth and better truth and better truth and better truth because God is giving it to us. Now, we're human, so it takes us a while to develop. In the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we are given the only place anywhere that I know of in the Bible that gives a picture of what a church service should be like. When you come together, one has this, one has that, one has... It's not a one-man dictatorship show. You know what I mean? It's a body operation. And as such, it says, and let the prophets speak, two or by three, or however it is in there, and let the others judge. Try that in most church settings. They might speak two or three, but don't let anybody judge any one of them. And so, why do they judge? Because we are getting spiritual understanding so that we have the ability. Is that scriptural that he just said? Is that scriptural that he just said? Is that scriptural? And if we don't think that it is, then what we need to be is so in tune with God and so willing for God and so wanting God's will done that we're not offended if somebody says, Keith, that's not scriptural. And I've got to the place where, go for it. If you hear me say some loony-toony, off-the-cuff, stupid thing, tell me. And you know what? I have done that. And most of you have been real careful not to insult me or offend me, but you know what? I want heaven.
Amen.
I want eternal life.
Yes.
Straighten me out. But the point is, let the prophet speak, and we are, you know what a prophet does? He speaks the word of God in truth. That's what he is supposed to be doing. So, in other words, let the prophet speak and let the others judge. But you know what the others are doing? They're gaining, and Pablo was right in that. My faith increases as I hear you guys. Yeah, why? Faith comes by hearing what? The letter? Faith comes by hearing the Spirit. You follow what I'm saying? And I'm starting to hear it. I heard some of the most phenomenal thing. I won't, say anything at the moment, but I've heard some of the most phenomenal things in the last few weeks. It's unreal. And where's it coming from? The Spirit is doing something in us.
Got it.
I walked by saying, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. Remember the little train?
Yeah.
It's really interesting that one of the subjects that was brought up first by Pablo was a train. I went out and listened to some music Thursday night, and actually, they had this gathering at the Foster Cheese House, and it was every third week.
I think those guys was every third Thursday.
Yeah.
1 Thursday a month.
Yeah, and so I've been there the last two times for just worked out. And this gal comes from Hudson to sing with this friend of mine who has a jazz group, and he comes out and plays with his sax, sits in. And both times she has sang this song. People get ready, there's a train coming. And I'm telling you, as I was sitting there, it was hard because I was being affected. And, you look kind of stupid sitting in a bunch of people and you're starting to weep. So, I had to kind of fight some of that back. But then later, another visiting female vocalist from Oregon was there. And she generally always sings a song, and these are spiritual songs, and it's kind of funny that they always, and it's the one where God moved the water and come down to the river, And I was just thinking about it. I thought, isn't that interesting that those songs are popular, even with just the general, the non-believer, you might say, or maybe they down in have a little bit of that seed, that says something. So anyway, that's that. But I love that song, and I think I'm going to get the lyrics to it, the one about there's a train coming. And I remember hearing somebody, I don't know, like 30 years ago, I heard that song or something, and it affected me. But So we were talking about being born again and so forth. Every time we really share John 3:16, we should be sharing Peter 1,
Where is it here? 23.
First Peter.
So, I just read this the other day. That's why it's fresh in my mind. And when we were talking about being born again, you know, because Peter says, well, I'll start in 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Boy, is that exactly what's been said this morning?
Yeah.
In sincere love of the brethren, which, you know, Pablo was kind of sharing, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now listen, having been born again, not of corruptible seed. Now all of us are born with corruptible seed. And that's why so many churches that are not by the Spirit baptize children. Because they think then they're good. Because they know they're born with sin. But the problem is, be born not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. How are you going to do that as a baby? And the whole thing is, see, we're corruptible, and God said, just like He said, why do you have to be born again? Because you need an incorruptible seed that comes from above.
Glory.
You know, it's... That's why. And that's why that, you know, I know that people, I was around people, because there was a big move, what was it, in the 70s, late 60s, 70s, of born again. And I mean, hippies were being born again. You know, there was a big move of love and everything, you know. And you could tell that the natural public was getting sick of hearing born again, you know.
I know I was.
Yeah, me too, actually. But when you stop and think about it, you can't say it any other way. You have to say, be born again.
Yeah.
You know? And Peter said it. John said it. You know, I mean, so right away there, that concept of not having the Spirit of truth. So then you send all these people almost into damnation, right from birth. Because as they grow up, they go, oh yeah, you were baptized. Yeah, yeah. But they never... I remember, I was upset when I got saved and realized that all them years I spent in the Lutheran church, they never told me to be born again. Not that I would have at the time, but the fact was it wasn't there. And that's... Oh... That's so getting cheated, in a sense,
right.
You know. And then there's evangelical Lutherans that do say be born again, and then it stops right there. You know, and Baptists do the same, you know. And it's funny how, you know, it's true that the Baptists emphasize the Word of God all the time. But if you don't have the Spirit of truth, you're missing... Well, you actually don't have the true gospel. You know, that's been... Because everywhere I've been reading lately, it keeps saying that you have the gospel of God or the gospel of Christ. You know, either way. This gospel that we preach, make sure you have this gospel. Well, you know, you start out... Well, what is that gospel? Because... For some reason, it doesn't seem to be the one that all the churches say they have, or they'd all be in agreement.
That's right.
They'd be unified. They wouldn't be separated. Well, one of the biggest things about that gospel is who Jesus Christ is. You know? I mean, and first, you can, you know, and you can, I believe you can hear that you must be born again and that you repent. And repent, you know, and accept Christ into your heart. And you can do that, because I believe I was, without truly knowing who He is at the time, because you're in ignorance to a certain degree. Which is fine, and God allows for that. But it seems odd, doesn't it, that now in this day and age that He wants His Son known for who He really is? So then ignorance pretty soon is no longer an excuse. Especially if someone preaches this to you, you know. If it gets shared with you, even, you know, not in church, but somewhere else, it makes you accountable. So one of the biggest aspects of what the true gospel is that you have to know that Jesus Christ is a man. Otherwise, all the sacrificing and the blood and everything doesn't mean anything. You know, because it's tainted. It's in deception. And you're not receiving the true gospel, which brings salvation.
Amen.
And so it's going to be kind of hard not to get around to that point of that if I'm with somebody and want to be sharing. I mean, you know, because if you care for their souls, they should know. You know, it says you should let your neighbor know the truth if you love them, doesn't it? You know, so anyway, that was just my little bit that came out. But I loved what I just heard. That part, you know, and I shared too, you know, when we started having those men's meetings, I had a big changes in my walk because of that. Because there was faith. You know, all of a sudden, somebody said, well, you know, you should, if you're having that trouble, you should do this. And I started doing it. And the trouble went away, you know. And some of us would give that advice, and we weren't doing it in our own lives. But, you know, that's the way it works. And then all of a sudden you go, gee, maybe I'll listen to what I just said, you know. And start doing that, you know. But that's how we are, and that's where it is, and that's what's good. That's why it's emphasized by Paul and why he says you should come together to edify one another. Edifying is a big thing.
Yeah.
It's being built up in God, and when you hear truth, and some of the time it's because you hear it, and then you can say, "Hey, that was the same truth I was getting." Does your faith increase? You better believe it. You know, not that you should have to have that, but when you do get it, it just builds it stronger. You know, puts a better foundation there under your walk, you know. So yeah, and every one person never gets it at one time.
To edify is to build faith.
Okay, to edify is to build faith.
Well, that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So glory, right? Glory. And it's, you know, and it's true that, and we emphasize it here, we don't want people coming to this church because that's what's going to save them. We want people to come if they want to hear the truth.
Yes.
I come because I want to hear the truth. If I miss a Sunday, I'm not going to hell, you know. And I know that. But it's the desire of my heart to be here because it feeds me, and it's good to be with one another, and which, by the way, I won't be here next Sunday. So, but anyway, and our getting together, you know, it just it helps. What it's been doing for me is it gets me a little farther through the week before I get stupid, you know, and weak in my walk. And I'm really trying to work on that because, you know, I'm looking back on the month or so, or six weeks that I was restricted to 10 pounds of lifting, and I couldn't do anything. That was the best month for my prayer life and everything else, and now it's hard to keep doing it. It's because you got busy again, you know, it's crazy. Keep asking what's been said for the mercy of God, and I need your help, Lord. And I really address that a lot to Jesus Christ, because he's the one that can really be in me, building me up, because he's the example of how I should walk to be in the will of the Father. So I need him to help me walk that way, you know. So, glory.
I'm not much faster than Keith.
And I don't always get up very much, so why would people think I'm going to get up more? Sanctification. I was looking it up, and it said Jesus had a lot to say about sanctification in John 17, and in verse 16, the Lord says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of it." And this is before his request, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Verse 17. And I mean, you could go on to more definitions of sanctification, but the word, his word, is the truth. And this got me to thinking about how remiss I am in giving the Lord all the praise he is due, because I don't have a men's meeting to go to. Kidding. But I have I go from the good, the bad, and the ugly, and most unfortunately it's Corky who's bad and ugly. You guys see most of the good. So you can thank Corky for taking that. This all reminded me, this happened, okay, yesterday. A bird hit our window. And I always feel so bad when that happens. And I'm looking out the window and I thought, oh, you know, maybe it's going to make it. Maybe it's going to make it. And it's laying there and dying. Well, who came along? His mate. And his mate sat there until he died. And stayed until it got dark. And I'm like, oh, what more does God do for us? So it reminded me. And I'm like getting teared up over a bird. But just the whole process of the bird, that his mate loved him that much. How much more does God love us? And this reminded me of a time I was getting some prayer, and I was having a horrible manifestation and going through a terrible deliverance. And I looked up and I'm like, "Lord, I mean, Jesus, just come and take this away. What, you know, you can do this." And I looked up, and as I looked up in the spirit, Jesus was standing there, and he was watching me go through. Because he loved me enough to let me do that. He cared enough about me for me to go through what I had to go through. That's not to say Jesus can't take things away. But he loved me so much that he wanted me to go through it. But let me know that he wasn't going to leave me alone. So, with that, after that all happened, the Lord showed me a couple things, and I've just been remiss not to share, and I just want to. He showed me when the Lord comes. He's going to come with a rainbow around him with tears falling from heaven. And the rainbow was representing to me, now this is just, you know, what he was showing me, the rainbow, the joy, the exuberation of Jesus coming back was wonderful. The tears falling from heaven were from God for all the people who weren't going to be joining Jesus. And he also expressed to me, "You can't find me in the words of others. You have to keep asking to hear from me." Yeah. And then he just pointed out, even when we can't feel the love of God, he can always feel love for us. So these are real special to me, and I didn't share them because of the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, the good came to church today. And I want to share those things because, you know, God has a lot. He has so much for all of us to share. Don't let your good, the bad, and the ugly hide it. Give it up to God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. No, our meetings, I don't know, we call them men's meetings, but it's open to any, right? Whoever. No. Yeah. So, you know. You know, it is very interesting, Susan. I couldn't pick up everything what you said exactly, but nothing that you did wrong. It's very interesting that you can see yourself in need. And he's a man. God help me. He's still there, but like he's like not helping you, it seems like. But you know, it's very scriptural. It's very scriptural. Nowhere the scripture says that, you know, if you have an affliction, boom, it's gone. He says, I'll help. I'll be with you with your afflictions. Right. You know, I'm not quoting scripture exactly, but that's the basic idea. And we, for some reason, we have to, I don't know that we need him, but God set it up that we will have afflictions. And that was so good. That doesn't mean that he's not there. He's there. But he feels like he's not. It feels like he's not. Again, but he is there. And it's so hard to go through things, afflictions. When you are a faithful person, you know, it almost sometimes, somehow, it feels like your faith, I don't know what the word is, winders or whatever the word is, but it doesn't. All of a sudden, you do come out of it. You come out of it. Even Jesus, well, this is what I think about when in situations like this, that you're going through something and you feel like you're not there, but that Jesus is not there. But when Jesus was dying on the cross, even he says, like, God, why have you forsaken me? Oh, I mean, if Jesus felt forsaken, I mean, it's got to be somewhere okay for us to feel a little forsaken, but we're not. He's there. And right now, I don't feel any affliction, so it's so easy to talk about it. But it was, if I was going through anything right now, I don't even think I could get up and tell you any of this. But I don't want afflictions, even if they're good for me, for my faith or whatever. I don't want any afflictions. But he's there. Yeah, he is. He is, and I gotta remember that. Another little side note, you know, because of, you know, our walking, because we all have the same Father. You know, when I see you guys, I just feel so much love. I do. I feel so much. I'm in church and when we get together. But, you know, when I'm driving and I see you guys, you know, Corky with the puppy or whatever, and Charlie with another puppy. Okay, and he's driving around. I said, man, I just love them. Keith. I mean, everybody. I mean, man, I just love you guys. I just, you know, the other day I was going, I don't know, it was to work probably, and there's Ken driving, and I was going to wave, and oh, man, I just love him. We didn't even talk, but it just gave me a boost. It just gave me such a good something to just. See him, I said, oh, this is my brother, and I just love him. Oh, it was so good. And the same with, you know, everybody. I just see you guys, and I just love you so much. It's just so, I mean, it's not like a blood, you know, it's not like your relative's love. It's just a different love. It's so different. And it just feels so good to see you guys, even if I don't talk to you, just that you are there. And I'm so excited that we're all going to the same place, you know.
I receive your love, Pablo.
God is good. You know, all the time. Even when I don't think he is, he's good all the time. You know, Pablo's kind of kicked things off about a train. And, you know, we kind of built up this little thought. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, the best part of that is we decided to get off of our train and get on his train.
Yeah.
You know, we spend our entire life trying to get where we want to go. You know, and recently I've decided that is just the dumbest thing. Where I want to go doesn't count for nothing. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter to anybody. It certainly doesn't impress God. The only thing that I can do that impresses God is getting on his train and finding where that train is and then just sticking with it. You know, wherever it may go. And as Pablo says, it's really hard to be excited to be on God's train when you're going through something. Because, well, it doesn't seem to be the right way that's supposed to work. You know, if I'm making good choices and I'm doing right things and I'm following what I'm supposed to do and I'm in the Word and I'm waiting on God and I'm looking for the Spirit and I'm totally sold out for what God wants, and I am as aligned with His will as I can, and then He lets this happen to me. Where's that in here? I missed that part about along the way, you're going to be tested. And oh, by the way, I made you so that you're not going to do very well, and the only way you're going to win is if you turn around and say, you know what, God, I need you. And I go, I've been through this a few times. It doesn't kind of say that way. But it does if you let God's Spirit work. You know, it's, I said it the other day, but I want to say it again. What's the difference between hearing the words of God from someone or hearing the words of God from someone who you know has a heart for God? And you go, well, I don't know. What's this? Corky's picking up on a Keith's trick pat and things, like trying to trick the congregation? No. The difference is, if you know the heart of the person who has a heart for God, you know that the Spirit of God is working in them on their understanding and revelation. There are people out there that can talk to you about God, but you don't know if they have the heart of God, and you don't know if the Spirit of God is in what they're bringing. Why do we come here? Because I know the Spirit of God is working in you. And I know that you are going to help me stay in the train. And if I'm not on the train at that particular moment, and there are moments when I'm watching it go by going, not really feeling it today, that's not where I want to go. Because God's got me in this affliction, and it's like, okay, great. So I'm just going to sit over here and feel bad about things until God fixes me, because it's me. You know, there's this little line that I Procession to the King that came out of the chapel. I've always been affected by that particular song, partly because God finally moved on those people and they realized that drums were not the Antichrist, but I'll leave that alone for another day. as we were breaking through all of these bad things, but there's a line in there that says, the revelation of who He is and who we are. And I tell you, you can't spend enough time letting that one sink in. Mm-hmm. You know, you sit there and you say to yourself, what's going on today? And you could go, well, nothing. Yet, the sky is blue, the sun is warm, the water rolls by, the fish are jumping around. I mean, You can ride your bike, you can take in all of God's love and nature every day, and you go, so you have a choice of just saying, so? Or you go, look at what He's created, and I have the opportunity to be happy in it and thank Him for it. Even if it's 20 inches of snow. Even if it's below zero.
Even if we want some rain.
Even if we want some rain. Got a little last night, but some. But, you know, I don't know. Today, what I heard was everybody coming together and saying, we want to be on God's train, God's will. And we know that our will, every once in a while, crisscrosses. And we know the more that we can get onto God, and I'm, for those that are not on here, my hands are making signals, the more we get closer that our train, our will is His will, things get better. I'm here to tell you, I've made some choices in my life, and things are better. Not how you would normally count them, but my life is better because I've accepted His way is the only way. You know, it's kind of funny. We talk about it, but and I'm rambling, but this is God's game. Your time on earth, it's God's gift to you. Eternal life is God's gift to you. It's His train. It's His game. You want to end up where He wants you to, where you want to be, because that's what He offers. That's the promise. And the more you realize that you're not really involved in anything except accepting the situation, the easier your situation becomes. You have afflictions. People die. And it's sad. On the other hand, they go get to be with God. And we just don't spend enough time, and I'm not wishing anybody ill, but it's like we never look at the, it's not our first reaction to look at, hey, the good thing is they're with God. You know, we'll get there if we go through enough sorrow and grief and whatever. And it should be the first thing.
Yeah.
It should be the first thing. Hey, look, they're with God now. They don't have this affliction anymore. They've done the affliction. Jesus has met them. They're with God. And, you know, the first thing should be is we're happy for them. You know, unfortunately, our nature is, yeah, we may be happy for them, but we feel bad because they're not with us anymore. And we miss them that way. And I get that. I mean, I understand. But it's kind of like, you know, I finally understand. I don't want to say game because that's got the wrong connotation. But I finally know where I am. I finally have the revelation of who He is and who I am. And I know that I can't do anything about getting where I need to be except accept His will. And, you know, some people have a quicker path. Some people have an easier path. For whatever reason, God decided that that person's path was going to be less difficult than mine. And whenever I get upset about that, a couple of scriptures jump to mind about the workers and the people who come in at the last hour and get the same pay, same wage for the guy who's been out there toiling all day long. You know, there's every now and then you come across a setting and you go, I really didn't need that one to be included. Because that does not make me feel good. And then all it does is go, yeah, but here we are. We're talking about you again, right? Not with God. You just don't know what that person had to do with. That's the way it is. And what is my requirement? To give Him praise and glory for that, because His plan is perfect. And stop trying to second guess God. You know? And it's going to happen as we talk about it. There are people who are going to get where we're at, and they're going to do it in 5 weeks. They're not going to have to come in and hear about, I've been doing this for 22 years. I've been in the Bible for 22 years, and this is the revelation I've got. This is where God has me at. And some country bumpkin is going to come along and in 5 weeks go, hey, did you figure this out yet? I've been doing this for 20 years and I didn't figure that out yet. And you got to go, why is that? Because that's the way God wanted it.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about that? If you're in the right place, you go, glory! I'm so glad that that's where you are and you shared it with me because now I can get there. It doesn't matter that the 20 years didn't make it. Because if you do that, then you're still back about it's on you. So, I don't know, maybe you want to lose how long we've been doing this, because that's a way to reinforce how special we are, because look how good we are. 20 years. Nothing against anything has been said, just making a comment that it's not about us. This is my most emphatic way. It's not about us. And I am girding myself up for the fact that someone's going to come from left field, probably never even knew the Lord, maybe he was baptized, maybe not, and I'm going to be working like heck just to hang on to his or her coattails with all the revelation that God's going to give them, because that's the way God's going to do it. And the only thing I'm required to do is thank God for sharing that with me.
Lord, yes.
That is beyond the natural thinking, because the natural-minded person goes, I've been out here in this field all day long, and they get more? Mm-hmm. And they get paid first? What the heck is up with this? Is it, don't you get anything for toiling? No. No. Why? Because I set up the rules. It's my train. It's my eternal life to you. This is the way it is. Do you have a problem with that? Then maybe you're not getting on the train.
That's good.
You want to second guess me? What's the downside of that? The train goes on by. Anyways, I'm sorry. Maybe rambled today, but God is good. And the sooner I came to the revelation that keep diminishing me, keep coming as a little child, keep asking for forgiveness, keep trying to shed all the worldly, natural-minded things that somehow I've run the good grace, I've survived this affliction, I've been unemployed, I've done this, I've done it. It doesn't count for squat. In God's eyes, it goes, that's my plan. You know, the only thing I didn't do was check out. The only thing I can say I did was I stayed after it. Because I was trying to find his will. And that's about the... that's pretty small, and I wouldn't want to hang it on that either. It's the revelation of who he is and who we are. And keep reminding yourself that it's all to his glory.
Yes.
Okay, I was listening. I always seem to end up to listen to Peter at the right time. I really like Peter, First Peter. And this morning when I was listening, I was not planning on talking, even though it was coming to me, and I thought, you know, I need to really share this today because it does something for me, and I always know that it might do something for somebody. And then I thought, well, maybe it's not the right Sunday to bring it up again and whatever. So then, of course, I got here late, and as soon as I got here, all of a sudden I was like, yeah, okay, this is exactly what I was listening to, because I really do have a good time on Sunday mornings. I have a good time with the Lord on Sunday mornings. Anyways, so in the spirit of everything, I kind of feel like my testimony is going to feel like a cake, like kind of everything's going to go look funny putting it together, but in the end, it all makes sense. So I know I'm going to kind of go in a circle, but and this is how I was feeling about the last several months of my life. And I know I've shared this year, but I was going to talk in Peter, but as I was thinking about Peter and as Corky was talking, and all of a sudden I went back to James chapter 1 right away. James chapter 1 verse 2. My brethren, Count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And you know, in the last, you know, year, but in the last several years or whatever, my mom, she's been sick. And it's looking like she actually has been sick since 2011. Pretty sick. And her body went a long time. And we think it all kind of came to, it didn't. In 2011, she had a bout of something that we didn't talk about. I think she's been sick since 2011. So when you look back, that was a long time to suffer and not suffer with that spiritual morphine, is what my nephew Brian called it. She must have been in the Holy Spirit or spiritual morphine. So her body inside was sick for 7 years that we know of. That's when it started, you know. So whatever. So there's James, and you know, the last several months have been hit or miss. I trusted that my mom wanted to be who she was, and so then I took it upon myself to help her do what she requested, did everything in my power to make sure. And I don't suffer really infirmities. I keep my body pretty healthy, even though I'm still obese, but I feel better than I did when I was younger. So I don't suffer infirmities, really, you know. But I watch those around me suffer infirmities. But while they're suffering an infirmity, I am suffering in my head or something. Although I don't feel it, but I know when my body is kind of going through anxiety, but I don't feel that. And I know, just like my mom, I don't know if it was my mom or my dad, had finally given me this thing. I don't know if I gave it to my mom or whatever, but the mirror, mirror on the wall, I have become my mother after all. And it's like, she suffered. Let's call it the outside. She thinks she had a great life. And she did, because that's her business to feel that. But to us, looking at somebody, you know, she was suffering. And I look and I think, you know, she was so busy doing so many things for so many people, she couldn't worry about the next minute. She couldn't worry about tomorrow. She couldn't worry if there was money in the bank, because she was too busy taking care of the next minute of things. And now I've found myself that I carry that same thing. And when Miguel was here, Miguel knows me. He's been coming here since 2002. I mean, he thinks I'm a completely different person. He sees me every single day. And he's like, I don't know how you do everything that's required of you. And I said, I don't know. But as soon as I start to think, I'm a little anxious, panic, like I used to be, somebody else needs something from me. So I don't have the time to stop and worry about the next minute, you know. But I do know that even though I don't suffer physical infirmities, I still go through trials. So it might be an infirmity for you, but it's a trial for me. But I know that when the Lord is talking, when it's talked about trials and infirmities and afflictions, it's all the same, because, you know, an affliction of the mind is as bad as an affliction to the knee or to the back or whatever. But in 1 Peter 2:19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. That doesn't mean somebody's like, oh, you're a Christian, I'm going to throw a tomato. That means conscience towards God, enduring grief, suffering wrongfully. Because when you suffer, Corky doesn't have a job, he's suffering wrongfully. To a worldly point, you know what I mean? For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults that ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. You know, it says, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. But when I look back and I think, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, there's a whole bunch of gold in those words right there. Because not just, he set an example, so don't sin, blah, blah, blah. His example is that he suffered. He suffered. But he did what he was supposed to do. None of us have suffered like Jesus. I know it feels like it, but we have not suffered like for Jesus or like Jesus. He left us an example as we should follow in his steps. It's more about that he didn't sin. It's when we go through, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, but there's diverse temptations to me is count it all joy when you go through whatever you're going to go through. Be anxious for nothing. So, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And 2 Peter 4:12. I mean, the title is Rejoice in the Trials. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, Corky, which is to try you, as though you were some strange thing happening to you. But rejoice, Pablo, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, Ken, that when his glory shall be revealed, he may be glad also with exceeding joy. Continue on. It looks like suffering. Bonnie suffers in a different way that Susan suffers. Corky suffers in a different way that Angel suffers. It doesn't matter. Everybody is suffering and infirmities, but it doesn't say if you suffer A, B, or C, you can worry and panic and have fear about this and worry about tomorrow's bread. It doesn't say that. It's covered among all infirmities. It doesn't say if a broken leg, it's infirmities and afflictions. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, he may be glad. Ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So suffer through it. Enjoy. And keep joy, 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 joy. It's raining and it's pouring and someone's stabbing me, but I'm going to continue to be joyful because I already know what's out there. And, you know, my mom used to tell me, well, I sure feel buffeted, she would say. And then she's like, so I know I'm doing something right for the Lord. I mean, that was her mental thing. It's like, the more I'm suffering and afflicted, the greater reward is waiting for me in heaven. You know? If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Happy are ye. Not on Mondays and Fridays and only for broken legs. Happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. Now, those are things we're putting upon ourselves. Don't suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. Don't suffer for those things. Those are wrong. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, suffer as a Christian? I thought being a Christian means that everything is gold, there's rainbows, and you have a lot of money, and you're prospering. Because when I listen to other people preach, all I hear is about the blessing, and the blessing, and the prospering, and the blessing, and the prospering. I have never heard one TV preacher, although I don't listen to them anymore, but I have never heard any of them put together the suffer as a Christian. You don't see that on a plaque on the wall. You see, ask and you shall receive is all the things. But it needs to say, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God. Let him experience joy. That's what needs to be on the wall as a constant reminder. Not ask and you shall receive, I asked and I didn't get it. Woe is me. Woe is me. Oh, are you Jesus? I mean, he's the only one that could complain. For the time has come that judgments must begin at the house of God. And if he first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Let them suffer? That's kind of yucky. So, I Oh, yeah. So I wanted to share something. Looking back, you know, my will was that my mother be healed. My will was that me and Pablo's first baby that I was pregnant with didn't die inside me. Well, my will, all those things. But then when I look back, it's easy to look to tomorrow going, where's God going to be? Because I've got all these plans, and now this is being interrupted. Where is God going to be when I'm directing my path? And then you go through the path. It doesn't feel so great. And then you turn around and you go, oh, my gosh, he was right there, and the path was golden. And I don't know about that baby that died inside me at 8 weeks, but I got Dominic. You know what I mean? And it's like I went through a divorce. Why would I have three kids? And that's kind of gross. And then why didn't he become a Christian? Because I got Pablo. And I look back and it's like, why didn't my mom live longer? Because her time on earth was done. Because she made it. The rest of us have to have that wonderment of how am I going to make it? I hope I'm ready at that moment. What will I be doing? And am I going to have to suffer? Because no, there's a lot of Christians, they're not afraid to die because they know they're going to heaven. But the fear of suffering is scary. And I can stand before all of you in case, well, I won't be here next Sunday because we'll be in Hayward. But in case I'm not here one day and you find out that I left this earth, I am not afraid of suffering. I don't know what's happened to me. I don't know. I used to tell my mom she was naive to the devil. That's how I described it. Because she would go years and she would say, oh, I got this chest pain. It feels like electricity in my chest. And I would say, Mom. And she would go, thank you, Jesus. Oh, no, I'm good. I got to finish my banana bread. And she would, oh, I got this arm pain and this, you know, my jaw. I'd be like, Mom, that's your heart. Oh, no, I just pray it through. And I would say, Mom, you are so naive to the devil, you know. But I don't know, but I don't really fear a lot. And I know I'm making myself vulnerable because the devil likes to then whatever. But I don't fear suffering. I know that there's people in here that fear suffering or fear death. I don't fear it. I look forward to the day that I can be reunited with the spirit that my mom carried. And I believe in the scripture. You know, I'm not going to preach about this, but my mother is not in heaven with wings flying around. My mother, according to this Bible, is in peaceful slumber because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall raise first. So my mother is not up in heaven hugging my brother Brian, looking down on us because she's not sad. She's in a peaceful slumber. Why did she have to do that? Last week, we took my dad out on the pontoon with Miguel and Jackie. And, oh, I got to say something quick about Miguel at the end. And, We had to take separate cars, obviously, and I was going to take my dad. And my dad, he had a hard time doing some things that my mom enjoyed because he feels guilty, you know, and should he enjoy it and whatever. And so we were going to go to the pontoon, and let me tell you, we had Zaheer, who doesn't speak but screams and doesn't like being confined, and then my dad, who needs to cast like that, and Zaheer's walking back and forth. So it was going to be a project, but we did it anyways. And they left, and I ran back in the house quick to do something, and I thought, oh, I got to go to the bathroom again. So I went into the bathroom and peed quick, and I was pulling my pants, and I don't know what triggered it, but all of a sudden I thought, oh, my mom would have loved to be with us and Miguel and Jackie, and she missed their trip this time. And oh, all of a sudden this thing, I was like, how unfair that she doesn't get to be here, because I know she would love it, the Joanne Dunn earthly would love it. And I thought, oh, she didn't get to. How unfair is what my earthly mind thought. I'm on my pants. And just like that, I got a whap on the side of my head of unfair. No. Not unfair. We are the unlucky ones. She's experiencing fear. She's in peaceful slumber. I don't know why. But it's not unfair. It's unfair that we're all still here. We still got to suffer. We still got to go through. We got to suffer, count it all joy, suffer, count it all joy, suffer, look ahead for happiness, and still suffer. She made it. She doesn't have to worry about how it's going to end. She doesn't have to worry about tomorrow. She doesn't have to worry if she's going to have any more money. We all do. We all still have to experience that. But she made it. And just like that, I don't know what... But it was like a devil got on my shoulder. Literally. It was like unfair. Like, I heard God loudly. Like, how dare you think that's unfair? Yeah. It's you are experiencing unfairness, not her. Anyways, one quick thing about Miguel. They left Friday morning, and usually when they cry, Miguel just loves me. He loves my cooking. He sits at the table all day long. He's a professor, so he's always on his computer. And I'm cleaning my kitchen and singing and worshiping. And sometimes if he's got to listen to something, he plugs in his headphones and doesn't listen to me. But he does like to listen to my singing, and I'm not going to be ashamed, and I just carry on. And I'm going to just miss you and your cooking so much, you know. And every day he would see, I would get up at 8 and take Eli to tennis and then come back and pick him up and, you know, whatever. And so when he left Friday morning, I didn't think I was going to cry because this trip was busy. Jacqueline could not rest because Zahir was busy in my home, not used to my home, touching and licking and screaming. And Jackie couldn't settle. Miguel doesn't, he just sits there, doesn't pay any attention. And so I thought, I don't know that I'm going to shed any tears this time. I'm going to miss him, but 3 weeks was a long time. And so, of course, I was saying goodbye, and I did cry when I hugged Jackie, and I thanked her for the sacrifice of letting her boy be here. Because I understand. And she cried. And then Miguel, I was coming down the steps, and Miguel grabbed me right away, and he said, Gandhi, thank you so much for your, I don't know what he said, happiness and your something, and for your cook it. He says cook it for cooking. I'm going to miss so much your cooking, he says, and okay, whatever. And then he hugged me really tight, and he said, God bless you, Candy. I've known him since 2002. He's never hugged me and said, God bless you. That's just, I was the Christian, he was the Catholic, because that's like a nationality for them, you know. And it just, I said, oh, thank you, Miguel. It just struck me. And I thought, you know, if it wasn't for Pablo, Miguel and Jackie, they wouldn't experience that. If it wasn't for my dad, Pablo wouldn't experience. You know what I mean? It's like it really trickles down. And Andrea was saying to me, I was talking to her about something. We were talking about Zahir's diet. And I was encouraging her about trying no dairy because he has stomach issues. And when we were talking, I said, she's like, well, I don't believe, I don't know what it was. And I said, well, Andrea, for example, like being Christian, you know the saying, and she, of course, doesn't know sayings from here, but I said, you know the saying, it's like, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, you don't believe in God. In the end, if I wasted my time, I won't regret it. If you wasted your time, you'll regret it. I was using that as an example for her to, I don't know if I was talking about dairy. I can't remember. And it was not a religious conversation. But then all of a sudden she stopped. She was getting to hear some more Cheetos or something. And she looked at me and she says, but Gandhi, she says, I want to be like Pablo. She says, I want to have his faith, and I want to trust God like my brother, and I can see he's so happy here, and he's not the same Pablo as in my country, and he's so different. And Gandhi, but I want to believe in God like him, but I don't know how I can. And she went on and on and on, and I'm like, no, I wasn't saying that. I was using that as a reference of something. And I'm like, no, I'm not talking religion. That was just something. And she's like, no, but I want you to know, she says, I want to be like Pablo. I want to be happy and believe in God like Pablo, like my brother. And I thought, yeah, Pablo does not sit around preaching, just so you all know. He just does his thing. He's told me a long time ago, I'm not going to make them to come to church on Sundays when they're here. I'm not going to sit down and have a Bible study with them. I'm going to let them see how I live. And it's affected them. Yeah. So count it all joy. Amen. And Corky, he's such a sweetheart. He's out walking that dog faithfully, and he's still counting it all joy.
I don't know if Candy quoted a verse. There was a verse that I wanted to get up and quote. And I don't know if that was included in what she said or not, but in James, it says the trying of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes. And then one other statement, one other comment, and this, Pablo, directly or indirectly, you gave me an understanding of something that's coming. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, it says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And I saw something as you were talking about this thing. And Miguel, let me tell you something that happened. And I don't know when it happened, but it certainly happened Tuesday night. Miguel loves Corky. He loves Ken. He loves Charlie. And it became an obvious thing. Something has happened to Miguel. Miguel is an intelligent... He's a dean of a university. Just a one of a kind. But you know what? The simple heart of something that's inside of him wants, just like Andrea wants what Pablo has. He wants what he sees here. He wants it. And we had a pretty good talk about it. I mean, there's only so much you can say, but I tell you what I saw, Pablo. I have not seen... It hasn't entered into our hearts the kind of love that's going to exist between God's people in the next realm. We can't even visualize or imagine how we're going to love each other and how God is going to cause us to love one another and how we're going to love him and him love... There's a love thing, and I saw it as you were talking. You said how you love Ken and Corky and Charlie and as you see them, you know what I mean? And it's like I saw in my mind this love relationship that's going to exist eternally. And we can't even... It can't enter into our minds because we don't have it yet. But it's going to exist. Let's come up to the front. I'm sorry about getting so...